Well, Sawbill Outfitters in Tofty operates on a unique system called Work Credit, where employees bid on jobs each week. Here to tell us more about it is Bill Hansen, co-owner of Sawbill. Hey, Bill.
Hi.
Thank you for being here tonight.
Oh, it's an honor.
Oh, it's great to have you. You know, because we've talked before, that I've been dying to talk to you about this for some time because I find this program so interesting. So first of all, would you please explain how and why this unique work credit program was set up at Sawbill in the first place?
Well, when I was in high school, I had to read a book called Walden 2. I think a lot of us had to read it. I think it's kind of fallen off curriculum now, but it was a utopian novel written by a psychologist named B.F. Skinner that sort of laid out how the world would operate if it worked under his principles of whatever those may be. I'm not even clear anymore. Random positive reinforcement was his big thing. But anyway, Skinner wrote this novel, and in the novel, it takes the form of a tour of a utopian community, of a really good, you know, high-functioning community. And there are two lines in there that describe how people choose their jobs in that community. And the narrator who is getting the tour says, you know, how do you decide who does what work? And he says, oh, well, that's easy. We just bid on it. And then jobs that are, you get the jobs you bid on. So if you get to do whatever you want to do. And jobs that are consistently popular go up in value. And jobs that are consistently unpopular go up in value. Jobs that are popular go down in value. And then we rebid the jobs. So then you have to think about, do I want to do this job because I like it, or do I want to do it because it's a good deal? And he said that way, you know, merit kind of the most important jobs are the best paid allow people to have the most free time. So a very, very brief description in there. So,
and your dad was a psychologist, right?
Actually, both my parents are child psychologists. They met in graduate school in the same program. And I was actually talking to my mom about it, just discussing the book, one of the rare high school books that I actually read. So I don't know why, but anyway, she's probably right. That little work thing they do could work here at Sawbill. And we started talking about it, and we thought it would be kind of fun to try it. And we sort of just spitballed a little concept there. And I do remember, I think I said to her, well, let's try it for a week. And if it's disaster, well, we've only lost a week, you know. And she said, no, it's almost sure to be a disaster the first week. So we should try it for 2 weeks. And that was in 1970. And so we've been now 44 years, and we've been doing it, going on 45. And it was immediately a success.
So would you just explain, you know, how it works in particular at Sawbill, how it's set up?
So we have all the jobs in the place, and that includes the management jobs. It's everything. Are all listed out as a list of jobs for the week. And then people are given a block of votes. And so they get 10 votes per day working. So if they're working 5 days, they get 50 votes. And they just they indicate their preference. So the job they want to do most, they give the most votes to. The job they want to do second most, they give the second most, and so on down the line. And then we feed that all now into the computer. In 1970, obviously, we did it by hand, which was quite a chore. But now with the computer, it goes very quickly. We feed it into the computer, and the computer basically assigns the jobs based on preference. So you get the job unless someone else bids higher for it, in which case they get it. And it goes down the list and assigns the jobs. And then at the end, there's a little bit of there are always some jobs left over and some what we call unfulfilled people, people that need work. And those are put together. And that's called getting snoosed. And because we had a Hawk Jensen from Silver Bay was working for us at the time in 1970. And he said, oh, I got snoosed by this system. And so it's still called getting snoosed. So that's how it works. But the key to the thing is that the next week we look at how the jobs were voted on, and the computer spits out a ranking with the average preference on the jobs. And if a job is consistently popular, then we lower its value, and that's you work for credits at Sawbill, and they're a lot like school credits is a good way to think of them. So you have to work a certain number of credits per day, and jobs are worth a certain number of credits. So as the weeks go by, if something's consistently popular, we lower the number of credits that it's worth. And if something's consistently unpopular, we raise the number of credits. So then when you sign up, you have to think, oh, do I like to, wash canoes? And do it, will I, am I willing to do it for those credits? You know, or would I rather have more free time and scrub the toilets, which are, you know, could be a high credit job.
Okay.
So that's the real cool part of the system, is that
the values change
with the preference of the group.
Okay.
And so the Skinner's theory was that if people choose their own work, they internalize it, it becomes them and part of them, and then they actually enjoy the work for its own sake.
Sure.
So they're not working because they're afraid of the manager yelling at them, or they're not working necessarily for the paycheck, although, you know, I think everybody likes the paycheck, but they're actually internalized the work, and that makes them happier, more comfortable with what they're doing. It gives them a feeling of dignity and responsibility. A lot of things that people talk about when they study work,
yeah.
You know, being in the flow, that kind of thing, all happens naturally.
Mm-hmm.
So
one of the things I was thinking was it would be a benefit for the employees too, but also for the people who run, you know, own the business, is that you'd have a bunch of people who know how to do a lot of different jobs.
Yeah, that is useful, it also forces us to have really accurate and detailed job descriptions, which every business school teaches you should have. But if I go to any business and ask them for their job descriptions, if they have them, they won't be able to find them. Ours are dog-eared and on the counter. We have several copies. We update them every year, and they're extremely detailed. So you can literally open up that book and read about a job, and it tells you exactly how to do that job step by step. And it's been written and improved by the people doing the jobs, not by us, over the years. So it's like real advice. It's not like the job isn't what Bill thinks it should be, which would probably be disastrous. It's what Hawk and Carol and everybody over the years who did the job said, hey, here's a better way to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then another key part of the system is we have a staff meeting every week. It's not mandatory attendance, but usually people show up because important stuff gets talked about, and it's kind of fun. And that's where we really discuss the jobs, and somebody will say, hey, you know, this job would go better if we did this, or if we took this out of that job and moved it over there. And so that's how the adjustments get made. And then we also talk about unique one-time jobs that are coming up. We talk about the upcoming week. And then we find out how many days people are going to be working. So that's all preliminary to running the system for the week. And then at the very end of the meeting, we have warm fuzzies, and we have a warm fuzzy jar, and we go through it. I think Cindy's got Northhouse doing that now. And that's sort of because sometimes talking about the jobs can be a little difficult. We do reach decisions by consensus. So it's not the crew petitioning Cindy and I for permission to do something. They bring it up, and if there's consensus, of course, we're involved in that too, then we go ahead and do it.
Mm-hmm.
And the worst we've ever come to is a couple times we said, well, let's try it this way for a week, and then we'll try it the other way for a week, and then we'll reconvene and decide which way is better. But mm-hmm. we've never had a stalemate where we couldn't come to agreement.
Do you also, do people talk about, like, do they make pitches to make a certain job be valued more or less?
Yeah, absolutely. That's where that happens. They say, you know, this job's been popular for weeks. It should go down, or this popular's been unpopular for weeks. And that's when we do it. We don't do it automatically or even single-handedly. It's a consensus agreement. So.
Okay. If you just joined us, we're speaking with Bill Hansen. He and his wife Cindy own Sawbill Outfitters, and he's talking about this unique system they have for their employees and jobs called work credit, and the employees bid on jobs every week. So I have to ask, what are the top three most valuable jobs this summer?
That's one of the things we found out right away about this, is that it's unpredictable. It's not what people always say, oh, so cleaning the toilets is high credit. And actually, no, people kind of like, I kind of like to clean toilets. It's satisfying. But it varies widely from year to year. The one job that I would say is probably consistently popular is what we call transportation, which is driving customers around to canoe entry points. Young college kids really like to drive and talk to customers. And it's, you know, they can listen to music on the way back. They can take the dog. I mean, it's a pretty cool, and it gets them out and about. So that is, I never drive because I feel like it's low credit for what you do, for the number of hours. Some of the managerial jobs tend to run low. Working in the office, running the computer, tends to be a pretty high credit value. But it really varies. It depends. And it turns out people have all different motivations for their jobs. It's sometimes it's the job itself. Sometimes some people like to do the same thing every week and get really good at it. Some people like to try something new every week. It's just their personality. We've had many employees that have come in and deliberately done every job, so then they have a complete picture of how to run a small business, because it includes accounting and bookkeeping and, you know, daily reconciliation and all those, counting the cash and all those things that small businesses do. The only thing that Cindy and I keep out from the system is like the long-term corporate planning, like, you know, are we going to build a new building? And of course, we consult with our crew on those things, but we make those decisions. But otherwise, all the jobs are on the table.
So we've been talking about a lot of positives in this system. Are there any negatives?
Yeah, there are. I mean, as you can imagine, the flip side of having everybody know a little bit about all the jobs is that you know, there's a lot, everybody knows not everything about all the jobs too. So switching jobs frequently it requires a lot of training and a lot of flexible personalities. Some people don't like it. It's rare. We get about one, I'd say about one every 5 years, we get somebody who's just like, I hate this. I just want somebody to tell me what to do and I'm going to do it. There's a certain personality, kind of an unusual personality. And I think we've had people that had that attitude that then flipped after a while. But sometimes people for the whole summer will just be like, we had a woman a few years ago that just said, this isn't for me. I don't like it. I want somebody to tell me what to do. I want to do my job and I want to check out. And if that's, you know, just wasn't a good fit for her.
Okay. What I'm wondering, is everybody paid the same?
We pay a salary. We're unusual that way for a resort. We do pay a salary, and then we just give raises by seniority. So the number of years, each year as you come back, you get more and more. We had to cut that off. My son Adam would have been making about $200,000 a year now he worked there. But we did, so we had to modify it a little bit.
And then what about the newbies? How long does it take them to get to understand how the system works?
Yeah, it takes a while. It varies. Some people get it right away, and some people it takes them a month or so. The signing up, there's kind of a strategy to signing up for your jobs, and some people struggle with that more than others. But they usually, it's interesting because the upside is that our employees are highly motivated, highly dedicated to the job. And one way you can tell that is that when they arrive, they invariably refer to the business as you and as something separate from them. Mm-hmm. And so they'll say, do you do it this way or do you do it that way? Do you do this? You do that? And within about 5 days to 2 weeks, they start saying, do we do it this way or do we do it? And you can see they've made that conversion. It's like their business.
Nice.
Can you give an example of a day when the bidding goes, you know, stream it down, cut it down because you got too many jobs probably, but say there's five jobs to be bid on and there's five people, how does it work?
Well, we do it weekly. And we do it a few days in advance so they can prepare. Some jobs you have to kind of get ready for, you know, and some jobs are, we call them babysitting jobs, are like daily jobs, like stocking the store, filling the pop and beer. Some jobs are clerking jobs, you know, it's everything. So the way it works is we hand out a sheet with the list and then they vote. And it's like ranked choice voting. They get a block of votes. And then when we first started doing it, we had them just rank them. I want to do this number one, this number two. But it became very predictable. I knew what Cindy would put for number one every week. So then I could put number one, two, and then we'd have to flip a coin or split it. But we had an exchange student who was an economics major, and he said, you need to be doing this. He said, you don't know about this because you live in a country with two political parties. But if you had three... more than two political parties, you would know about ranked choice voting, and you give them a block of votes, and then it's very unpredictable because I know what Cindy likes, but I don't know if she'll put 20 votes or 25 votes or 28 votes, you know. So you have to really indicate your preference that way. It has to be secret. That's one thing that weirds people out a little bit, because if you were to cooperate in the voting with one or two other people, you could skew the whole system in your favor. So we insist on secrecy. But once the jobs are assigned, the moment they're assigned, it's a free market. So you can trade to other people, and you don't have to trade credit for credit, although there's kind of a tradition of doing that. But you could, if you had leverage, you could get a good deal for yourself. But trading is wide open.
So if Dick and I were both working there and I got my number two job and he got his number two job and we could go, oh, I'll trade with you. Yeah, that's cool.
Or I'll trade half or yeah, whatever. All and right. that happens a lot.
How much time of the work week does it take?
Yeah, I was wondering
this?
That too.
Well, when we started, it took a long time. It took probably, we used to do it with five. We had a committee of five people and we'd have to kind of go around and collate, you know, as we went through it. And it was quite tedious, and it took about 2.5 or 3 hours for five people, which is a pretty significant chunk of time. Now on the computer, it takes one person about an hour to do it, maybe an hour and 20 minutes with the preparation, you know, the day before. But so it goes pretty fast. And one nice thing about having the computer do it is if people do get a job or two that they don't like, they're more likely to blame the computer than they are the person doing it, yeah, or the committee, you know. So that's good. And then we do have what we call snooze credits, which are because of having to make the math work out because it can't come out to a fraction, has to come out to an integer when you're dividing the number of credits by the number of people working. So we have to add some credits into the system to make the division come out equally. If you get snoozed, if you get a couple jobs you didn't sign up for, you get some free credits, which is basically like time off in compensation. So you get what are called snooze credits.
Interesting.
So it's just a little bit of a bonus for getting snoozed.
All right. Is there any business school that's teaching this?
No. As far as I know, it's completely unique. And no one's ever tried to replicate it. I feel kind of bad about that because I'll tell you this, the really, from a business owner point of view, it's unbelievably efficient because we don't have those territorial things that go in every business. You know, it's like, is that my job or their job? And there's sort of these little power plays that go on. There's also very little boss-employee relationship. I was telling Ann on the phone when we were talking about this, there's not a year that goes by that two or three times some of my, you know, 18, 19-year-old employees say to me indignantly, who are you to tell me what to do? And when they say it, I always kind of chuckle because I'm like, well, I am your boss. I pay, you know, write the paycheck and I own the joint. But they don't think of me that way. They think of me as a fellow employee.
That's good.
I rarely have to be a boss. I probably on a weekly basis have to be a dad.
Why don't you, maybe you've done this, but why aren't you write an article
about
this?
Yeah, you know, I have written it up in a couple places, but I don't know, it's funny. I would really like it to get out there and do good in the world because I think there are a lot of organizations that would really benefit from it. One that really, I think would just be a natural are cooperatives, you know, like our food co-op, where they're dividing up work and they want to do it in a fair way among volunteers. I think it would really work. Most businesses are hierarchical. Most of my peers that own resorts in the county just laugh at me about it. They literally make fun of it because they're like, oh yeah, your hippy dippy system you have up there, you know, and they just think it's a joke. But I laugh all the way to the bank because it's unbelievably efficient.
Very productive.
I have a question. I'm thinking it must to some extent influence the kind of people that you hire because you have to consider whether they can handle the sort of the relative chaos or being a generalist or...
Yeah, we do ask for... one of the things we look for is flexibility, ability to change gears, that kind of thing. But we have found over the years that in hiring is very unpredictable. And basically, we get really amazing applications and just the cream of the crop. In fact, a lot of people that we reject now, we don't reject them because they're bad. We reject them because some tiny thing, like they have to go back to school a day before somebody else. And a lot of the other outfitters now ask us to give their names to the kids that we turned down. And I mean, that sounds kind of arrogant, but it's not. It's not. It's just that we get so many good applicants that, that we can share.
You're dealing with college students primarily.
Mostly,
right?
Yeah, mostly college students. You know, sometimes people job share and they work in graduate school. And there have been a few. John Oberholzer, who lives in the county here, worked for us for 13 years. Not consecutively, but over time, 13 years. So he holds the record. We could not get rid of that guy.
I didn't know that about him.
Yeah.
That's great.
And he says, never say never.
Well, Bill, shoot, we only have a couple minutes left, but you said that this idea came out of that book, Walden 2. Mm-hmm. Is there Is there any other writing about this kind of thing that you could recommend for folks?
If they were interested? Not really. It's as I say, as far as I know, it's completely unique. There are two communes in the world that were inspired, that are still around. A bunch of people founded communes, you know, during that era back in the 70s, based on Skinner's theories in that book. Two of them still exist. And one of them's in Mexico, and I emailed them about 10 years ago and said, hey, we're doing this work thing from the book and wondering what you do. And they emailed back and were like, we are the true protectors of Skinner's vision. You have no right to. And I was like, okay, delete. And then there's one in Pennsylvania, and I contacted the woman that runs that commune about 20 years ago. And she just said, oh, that was the one thing we knew wouldn't work. So we don't do that.
Really?
Yeah, so nobody else has tried it, I don't think. And it's just, it makes her extremely happy employees, you know, relax. People say that all the time when they come in. They're like, what is up with your employees? They seem so happy. And they are.
Do you have any kind of an advantage because you're seasonal?
Well, you know, one thing is all the jobs that we have are pretty easily learnable. So people say to me, well, you couldn't do this at the clinic because you can't have the janitor being doctor. But that's one of the beauties of this is you actually can. If that, you have prerequisites, and we have that. You can't do bookkeeping or be a manager until you've worked a certain amount of time. And so it opens those possibilities to people. You're not shut out from something because of your gender or your background or your economic status. If you want to be a doctor and you're the janitor at the clinic, all you have to do is complete an accredited medical school and a residency and get your license, and you can be the doctor, you know. And that's how it is where we are. And the proof of that was within 3 weeks after we started this back in 1970, Hawk Jensen, who I mentioned, my friend, grew up in Silver Bay, you know, working class family in Silver Bay, was just a high school graduate when he worked for us, wasn't going to college, and we had him doing all the, you know, janitorial stuff, basically. Turns out he was a genius for management. And within 3 weeks, my dad was sweeping and emptying the trash, which he really liked to do, and talking to people, you know, he liked to be out in the front. And Hawk, this 19-year-old kid from Silver Bay, was in the back running the place, and he really was good at it.
Wow.
So that's just one example. We've seen that many, many times. I'm not even surprised anymore when people's talents come out because it's totally unpredictable.
Well, that is a great note to end our conversation on. Thank you so much, Bill. Anything you want to add?
Well, thanks for having me. It's fun for me to talk about this. Most people's eyes glaze over when I do, but it's really changed our lives. It's really what's made Sawbill a really special place. I mean, my parents were and are special people, I think, to work for and set that tone. But I really give this program, this work credit, a lot of the credit for making our lives so wonderful at Sawbill.
Well, thank you. Appreciate you sharing your story with us.